I am Scott Catoon. You are back here at WGN Radio listening to the Startup Showcase. That's TechNorrey live from WGN Radio, the Allstate Startup Showcase, which is why I brought in Kin Insurance founder Sean Harper. Welcome to the show, Sean.
Hey there.
Yeah, as we mentioned, you come in here, so this is all decked out in blue. If you want to watch, you can actually go to WGNRadio.com and / I think live or something like that, and you can actually watch us live in the studio. So if you're an Allstate fan or employee, you can look at the enemy. We bring you in here because, well, a lot of things. Actually, I have a good warm up story for you. It's not homeowner insurance related, but it's insurance related / millennial. So that like fits perfectly. I don't have a clue how to do anything with insurance. I don't even really understand the purpose of it. We had this huge TechNorrey, obviously I do understand the purpose of it, but like we had this huge TechNorrey Legends event, and I called the only insurance company that like I knew and was like, oh, we want one-off single entity insurance. And they set us up, went on this big roundabout, and it was all tons and tons of adding on of stuff, like, you know, subrogations and things like, I have no idea what any of this is. And it dawned on me, actually, and I had seen some emails come back and forth about having you on the show, and it dawned on me at that time, I was like, I bet I'm not the only one who's like 30 years old and doesn't understand any of this stuff. Like everyone our age who's starting to buy homes, I feel like they're just totally lost. Like, what, homeowners insurance has got to be the most complicated thing in the world for a first time house buyer, which is, you know, they're already trying to figure things out.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. I actually brought a little prop here. I have a 1928 insurance policy right here, and it's like 3 pages long.
Yeah, you can put it, how it should be,
in your pocket. It's this really simple thing. And yeah, there's a few interesting things about it. Like, first of all, it's much shorter than insurance policies are right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's also actually mostly the coverages are the same. So the insurance hasn't really changed that much. It's not really giving you very much more now, you know, 100 years later. But it's way, way, way more complicated.
Well, it's like 68 pages was the full dock and deck for our single event stuff, which is a one-day event.
Totally. It's gotten really complicated. And it's not even just young people. You know, one of the things that we believe very strongly, having been doing online financial services for a long time before we got into insurance, and the way we got into this was the same way as you just described. We were buying our first houses as guys. I'm not 30. I'm 30. I'm almost 37.
Yeah.
So I'm not,
you
like,
look a day over 33 though.
Thank you. I'll take
you
it.
You look great.
I'm not like that young, but I was like, why are you making me fill out all this paperwork? And by the way, this is the worst time in the world to be asking me what kind of shingles are on my roof.
Yeah.
Because first of all, I don't own the house yet. Second, I have all this other stuff I have to worry about. I have to get the movers and get rid of my old house, like try and get my security deposit back. And there's all this, buy new furniture, get the place painted. And now there's, okay, mortgage. I didn't know this, but you go to get the mortgage and then they say, okay, you need to have insurance for this house. Okay, cool. You try to get it online. And it actually turns out that it's really hard to buy homeowners insurance online. And you're really given these two options. One, you can fill out these outrageously long online forms where they ask you, I'm not kidding, like 40 questions about your house. And they're things that no reasonable person would ever know the answer to. Like, when was the electrical updated in your house? Or what shape is your roof? It's like, man, I have no idea. Like,
cylinder. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I will try to answer this question, but it's not going to be right.
Yeah.
Or you have to deal with, and this is how 94% of homeowners insurance is still sold, a local broker who, for the most part, does business over the phone.
Yeah, so it doesn't sound much more exciting than the online version.
No, it's actually, I mean, it's better in a way, but it feels very anachronistic, especially if you're someone who's used to doing something totally online. It's not just young people. I was talking to my dad about this when I was thinking of starting this business. He's not super tech savvy. He's pretty tech savvy, but he's not like a computer programmer. He's a retired cop. He's a normal guy. He's also in his 60s. And I was telling him about this, and he goes, well, yeah, that makes perfect sense because with my bank, I've never been to the bank branch before. Why is it different with insurance that I have to like fax things back and forth?
It is so weird. It's funny you say that because I noticed the same thing. I didn't put it into terms in my head like you just did. Why isn't it? It's like it should be the exact same. It feels like you're doing, it's just an extension of the same thing. And yet insurance, it is the last time they said I need something to be faxed.
It's like, so weird. What? It's like, it's your outside of the context of insurance. I can't remember the last time I used a fax machine.
Yeah. It's always real estate. These real estate guys are always so slow moving. I don't get it.
It's just crazy. Bizarre.
Not Jones Lang LaSalle, who's a friendly sponsor of Technori, but everybody else out there. No. So anyway, you start kin insurance. I guess kind of talk to people a little bit about what the difference is and how you simplified this process.
Yeah. So we believe very strongly that the very best thing that you can use technology for when it comes to financial services is just to make it simpler for the customer. There's a lot of tech stuff going on in the back, but what the customer sees when they come to get insurance at kin.com is we ask them their address, we recommend, we make some really smart automated recommendations about the coverages that they should have. A lot of, you know, data goes into making those, a lot of algorithms, and then they can change them if they want. Make it very simple. There are a few options, and then there's a payment page, and that's it. Then you get the insurance contract.
Yeah.
It's not 40 questions, it's more like 4 questions. And so we took something that used to be a real pain in the butt that hits you at the very worst time, and we've turned it into something that's really, really easy. So easy, in fact, that people will say, like, wow, that was really surprising, or that was delightful, or this was, a very pleasant surprise.
I have 2 questions for you. One is slightly less important than the other. I'll start with the important one because, we want people to actually understand how to use this. How did you guys simplify that process? Obviously, you don't have to give away your proprietary stuff, but how did you guys cut out the dumb questions about what the shape of the roof is?
Yeah, so...
Or is that still one of the options?
No. We know for the most part what shape your roof is. The thing that has changed between when this insurance policy was made in 1926... and now is there's an outrageous amount of information about people and houses online. So I actually can take your address and I can hit it up against all of these different data sources. And there's data about your house in the MLS. There's data in your house from your property tax records, from the building permits. There's data on your house.
So you're aggregating
this
from all over the place.
We pull in. Yeah. So if a traditional insurance company is underwriting on 40 or 50 variables that are unreliably entered by the customer, I'm underwriting on 4,000 to 5,000 variables now and growing. That now they're not all totally accurate. These online sources aren't, but we also know which ones are accurate and which aren't, which is a really important difference because you and I might both go and fill out the same long form and I don't know anything about house construction, but you might know everything. So how do I know who to trust as the insurance company, which of these answers? So in our situation, because we're programmatically aggregating all of this information, we know which sources are reliable and which ones aren't. We can get the same field from multiple data sources and we can really get an accurate picture of the house, which allows us to put it online.
So the second question now has a third question. The second question was originally going to be, and we discussed this at the Light Bank dinner that we met with Vic Pascucci. Thanks to Vic Pascucci, is how did you secure kin.com? Because that seems like a tough one to pull.
We bought it from a company that wasn't using it.
Nice. Well played. Cause that's one of those, like you very rarely, first off, if you're very rarely, can you get like a 1, 2, or 3 letter.com? And when that one has a word behind it, it's like a whole different story. And my third question, much more important, when are you guys going to get acquired by Redfin? Because this is like such a genius tool to me. And it seems like it lines up, and you talk about not necessarily age specific, but it seems like it lines up incredibly well to where I think the future of home buying and the way that people sort of search and shop is just changing.
Yeah, it totally is. And we're really sort of riding behind the real estate. Estate is going online very quickly.
Yeah.
And part of that is generational. You know, people thought millennials, a few years ago, I think there was a conception that millennials were going to live in their parents' basement forever.
Yeah.
Totally not true, actually.
No.
Now they're buying most houses.
And it's so funny you say that because it's not just the real estate. We had folks from Rapunzel Investments on last Saturday, which is a new startup company. I think there's some loose tie to... I'm forgetting if it's Geico or something else, but they know what they're doing. At any rate, the thought that like millennials don't invest, millennials don't buy homes is just totally wrong. It was just, you were giving them tools that they refused to use. That's what was going on.
That's right. You were expecting them to jump through hoops they didn't want to jump through.
Yep.
And also I think there is something to the, when my generation graduated from college, we got started a little bit later because the economy was bad.
Yep.
So people are buying houses a little bit later, but it's not that they're not buying it.
No, for sure.
They're just buying it a little bit.
And they also, I don't know if it's it is definitely a result of the economy, but I don't know if it was one of those things where like me as an example, perfect example is the economy and just the way things were shaping up. We are starting our families later, and I actually saw a piece yesterday that millennials are buying homes not because of a wife and kid, but because of a dog. That's the number one reason that they're buying homes.
Gotta have
right
a
now.
Yard.
Gotta have dog. A yard for yeah, the dog, which makes perfect sense.
You gotta have insurance,
and that's just it. You need insurance for the house and the dog,
of course.
Pooch insurance. You gotta have that. So, what do you? You know, as you guys are, how long have you been running Kin Insurance? Now, how long has this been up and running?
We started the company almost a year and a half ago. And we launched the product in April.
Okay. So what would you say, like, as far as traction, like things are going very well with it? I mean, I hear great things. Where do you see sort of the next 12 months going as a founder necessarily? It doesn't have to be just Kin, but like as a founder, what are the things you're focused on for the company and for yourself for the next 12 months?
Yeah. So I would think about this in three, we are in the third phase of the business. The first was figuring it out.
Yeah.
Like, is this even possible? Like, I talked about all this stuff about data and aggregating it. If that data didn't exist, this wouldn't be possible. So the first phase of the company was basically me and my co-founder sitting in a conference room playing with a bunch of data, and, you know, writing a little bit of code to hook it together and seeing if this was actually possible. Also talking to a bunch of users and being like, Would this make it better for you? Yeah, exactly. You know, trying some prototypes and MVPs and stuff like that. The second phase of the business was, you know, this is a serious thing. It needs to be approved by regulators. And I need to, you as a consumer, want to know that your claim is going to get paid, right? So I needed to hook up a lot of stuff, you know, not just software, but also reinsurance relationships. I had to figure out an insurance company to partner with to use their license, use their credit rating. So that took a long time.
Yeah.
And now in the last few months, we're really in the, hey, let's grow this thing.
Yep.
We figured out it would work. We built it. And now we're just growing. So the next 12 months for you is just like, let's get in front of more and more people. And get them in and give them insurance, sell them insurance, and figure out what marketing channels work and use the feedback that they're giving us to make the product better.
You're a multi-time founder. You have to be.
Yeah, this is like my fourth one.
Okay, I was going to say, because like every other, we have so many of like the early stage companies that come in here and they're like, so right now we're trying to grow it. We're like trying to build the platform. We're trying to pick our team. We're trying to build a team. We're trying to like, just like, listen, bro. That's not going to work. Like you need to, like, I love that you put that in perfect phases. I think that's one message that a lot of the people here outside of the insurance side of the story, the audience listening to this, if you are interested in starting companies, you have to understand that phase one is not like selling your business. Like phase one is making sure that you actually have something to sell. Like, can it be scaled? Like, what is it? You don't even know what it is yet. So very cool. Where do people go to learn more about Kin?
Kin.com.
Kin.com.
K-I-N.com.
Can't beat that. Sean, thank you so much for coming here today.
Thanks, man.
It was fun. This was great. Thank you. We are going to take a quick break here and check in with the news. But when we come back from our break, we are going to have Sean Frelick live from Lollapalooza.